Blog Talk Radio.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
I have only one thing to say to the tax increasers. Go ahead, make my day.
The crusade for freedom is your chance and mine to fight communism.
Thank you. God bless you all.
Hey all, welcome back to the show. I have my guest on the line. Hello, Charles.
Hey, Alexander, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for coming on. Charles Hooper, you are the author of The Next American Revolution. I'm honored to have you on my show.
Thank you for having me.
Give an introduction. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Thank you for having me. I'm sorry.
Oh, not a problem. It's my pleasure, like I said. If you can, please give an introduction of yourself, who you are, what you do, and why you decided to write this book for my audience.
Okay. My name is Charles Hooper. I, of course, I'm a patriotic American. I come from a long history of military service from the Revolutionary War to my own service in Vietnam. And by profession, I'm a professional social worker, a healthcare advocate. I have a bachelor's degree in sociology and political science and a master's in social work from UNC Chapel Hill, and wanted to do something to help our country. Over the last couple of years, just became very alarmed, like everybody else, over the direction our government's going suddenly and starkly. And so trying to find out what I could do, I decided to combine my experience as an advocate and my academic background, interest in research, and decided to write a book. And it's a book about really the only way we can force Congress to reform.
Now, I've been hearing a lot of different things. I like having this finally in the discussion. I'm very solution-oriented. I bring on guests that are people from NCPA and others, yourself obviously included in that mix. Now, Congress has... They either give away power to the executive branch or they take it from the executive branch. It's one way or the other, a matter of how they feel. That should be a little more balanced. It should be three levels of government, and there should be three branches of government, and there should be a fourth and fifth, as I call it, which is the media and the people. The people obviously being the ultimate bellwether for how they want the government to go. Tell us what's wrong with Congress as it is right now, what you see as the biggest problem, and how you feel about the prospects of it getting fixed with Republican Congress, with Republican House.
Well, I think the biggest problem with Congress now is essentially we don't have the Congress that we were supposed to have. We had a citizens' legislature essentially for the first 150 years of the history of the Republic, and what happened during the Depression and World War II, the government. It got hooked on money. It had to have money to fight, you know, the fascists, and so everything centralized in Washington. And with that centralization came the centralization of the congressional electoral system. And when that happened, everybody got addicted to all this money, including Congress, and that pulled Congress away from the people. And when they had access to all this money and this power, they essentially shut down competition, and so it turned it into an arena for the two parties to fight their never-ending and ever-escalating war with one another. So what Congress is now is that instead of a legislative body, it's a football game.
Mm-hmm.
And we're spectators.
Yeah, and that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a circus develop out of what was a very bloody battle to gain our independence and gain our freedom, and continuously we shed blood as a nation, not myself personally, but God bless you. You put a lot of blood and sacrifice. You put your life on the line for this nation, and to see it be devalued by a group of rapacious Republicans and Democrats, and then the socialists and, you know, the far left and the far right and all that, not that, I don't know how the term far right, I mean, anybody that supports the Constitution is deemed far right, but I'm talking about the more ultra-nationalistic people, which we know anything too extreme is never good. At least I feel that way.
Right.
I see a lot of problems with Congress in the sense that the double talk, I think, is the most egregious of it all. It's basically saying, if you have cancer, you want to know that you have cancer. It's not you going to the doctor and them telling you, hey, listen, here's a lollipop, you're fine, you just walk it off. It's not like this is what we're being told right now. We saw a vote today for extending the Bush tax cuts that was purely political, and it passed basically immediately. It was a very quick vote, and that was just for show. It's going to be dead in the Senate. They all knew it was going to be dead. Pelosi brought it up anyway. Tell us what do you think the Republican Congress is going to do once they have the power, and do you think it's going to be any different because many people don't?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's all about politics and showcase legislation. It's not about legislation for the good of America, even when it involves sacrifice. It's all about politics. And frankly, you know, as excited as I'd like to be to see the Republicans in power and slow down some of the wacky things going on both sides of the aisle, I think all we're going to see is an ever-hardening of position. It's going to be the worst gridlock we've ever seen in history, nothing but elbowing into position for the 2012 election, and that's the best that we're going to be able to hope for the next 2 years. And 2012 is not going to bring any relief. I think what we'll see in 2012 is probably a Republican in the White House and a Republican Senate and House, and just more party games instead of true leadership. And the only way around this, the founders saw this. They knew that this was going to happen, especially the anti-federalists who feared a powerful central government. And so they made a provision in the Constitution to allow the people to bypass this process, for us to go around Congress and for the very express purpose of reforming Congress, making them do what they're supposed to do. And that's an Article 5 convention.
Mm-hmm.
A means to propose amendments to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Now, the state legislature, and this I feel, in all due respect and all due deference to the Republicans that work their ass off to gain control of the House, and Chairman Michael Steele and the RNC took a lot of credit for it. I don't believe it falls to the credit of one centralized authority. I think the people did an amazing job. I saw firsthand here where my district in New York unseated a freshman Democrat who was very, very popular. They didn't even poll here. That's how much people didn't think we had any shot at winning. And we won by 3 or 4 points, percentage points. The rest of them, I think what we saw was more of a rise like we did in 94, which was farmer citizen patriots, as you alluded to earlier. I don't think it's obviously not exactly the same as those that fought for independence, but a lot of people share those values. Do you feel that the Republican Party has been bought and paid for the same way the Democrat Party has, as Glenn Beck had said, been swallowed by the secular socialists and the progressives?
I think the Republican Party is not the grand old party that it used to be, and it's not going. As I said, the best that we're going to be able to hope for is gridlock, party games, and the problem is the reason they're able to get away with this is the congressional electoral system is locked down, and the only way we're going to be able to unlock it is through reforms that they'll never consider: term limits, real campaign finance reform, and altering the way congressional districts are formed. That's how they keep this monopoly on Congress, and that's how they're able to not really give a flip what the people think. And that's why we see elections making these wild swings, really, from right to left, from left to right, from Republican to Democrat. It's because the people, they have no other choice. It's vanilla or chocolate. There's no other flavors. And they're just the threat of competition doesn't have to. There's nothing really wrong with the two parties. It's the system. Just the threat of competition can bring about tremendous accountability. That's the way it was before the Depression. You know, there were third parties and independents in Congress. I don't think there's a single member of the House is an independent.
Well, that's how it was before the Republican Party became the Republican Party. There were the Free Soilers, there were the Whigs, there were others. It was blocks. It was kind of almost parliamentary because it was coalition blocks. And a lot of
right.
people don't know that. There was something called free. I mean, they laugh at it now, but there were free soilers. There weren't too many of them. It was they were mostly Whigs, which were the oldest party, if I'm not mistaken. But they destroyed themselves, and that's what we're seeing at the Republican Party. And I've said it for a while. I said, Republican Party is not careful. They're not the cool, hip party and the charismatic party that people can say, they're just, you know, they'll be okay like they do with the Democrats. Obama's still overwhelmingly popular on a personal level. His policies aren't doing well because the economy, but if the economy starts turning up a little bit, all of a sudden he can win re-election in a landslide. People don't realize this.
Right.
What do you think the Republicans need to do first off to get their house in order? Because they need to, they really need to start, forget about spending for a while, because you can control spending, then 20 years we'll be in the same position again where the country's in doom. But what do you think they need to do right now to change the way that the electoral process works and the way that we elect people?
Well, that it would be a wonderful thing to see them do it. But what they would need to do would be to come through on the promises that the Gingrich Revolution, the Contract with America, promised back in the 90s. You know, one of the promises was term limits. Another was that Congress would make no laws that didn't apply to Congress as well as it did to the people. You know, if we had a Republican Congress that really stepped up and revealed itself to be a party of the people and let us prove, you know, just by term limits, if the nation and the Republican Party could rally around just the idea of term limits, that would be a wonderful start. Wonderful start. So that's a simple thing, really, they could do is they could just say, as Congressman Jim DeMint, he proposed a term limits bill last year, you know, just let's work on term limits. That's one of the single best ways to strip the legs out from this professional careerist Congress that we have.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing that really bothers me is when people say, Fox News, Sean Hannity's, they all describe it like this. The election was geared as the direction the country was going to take. Well, wait a minute. The federal government was never supposed to have a role like this. The federal government was only supposed to have about a 5% role. It was supposed to be 95 state, local, whatever, and then 5% federal because it was created by the states.
Right.
So that's what it was meant for, just in case, an emergency or whatever. It wasn't meant to do Social Security. It wasn't meant to do all these things. It wasn't supposed to be a cradle of the grave society. It evolved into that or devolved into that. Now, the state legislatures overall, I believe the Republicans gained over 500 state legislature seats, and New York had a surprisingly good result also. But these are people who are going to be redistricting. That's one thing I want to ask you about, how you feel about the future of that. The other thing is that I believe there are about 30 Republican governors now, if I'm not mistaken, or there will be 30 Republican governors. They need, I think it's about 7 or 8 more to get a constitutional amendment passed. Do you foresee or are you hearing about any potential constitutional amendments being passed? So those two things. One will be redistricting. Can they get that? And this whole charade that they've been doing to try to secure seats? And two, do you think Republican governors have the will to call a constitutional convention to get an amendment passed?
No, I don't see constitutional amendments on the horizon. I don't even see a bare breath of air in that direction from the current leadership. And that's why my book's called The Next American Revolution. It's got to come from the ground up. And it really is within the people's ability and power, if they would just come to believe it, that they can force a convention, and they don't need to be afraid of it. You know, it's part of the Constitution. The founders knew what they were doing when they wrote it. But no, I don't think we're going to see any sort of revolutionary movement on the part of the leadership. I mean, why would they want to fire or demote themselves? You know what I mean? I think it's, remember the Who song, meet the old boss, meet the new boss, same as the old boss. I mean, you know, I think that's what we're going to see.
Well, your book, The Next American Revolution, I encourage people to go read it. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on your website, which is mycongress.com. mycongress.com. So much for coming on. I want to have you on again. I actually want to have you on with the author of Average Joe. I had him on recently, Robert Hickman, and his daughter actually co-wrote the books. I think both of these tie in very well to a citizen who said, it's my turn to try to do something. And your book that's saying we need to do something and here's the action plan. So I would like to have you both on, and thank you so much for coming on tonight.
I'm honored. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. We'll talk to you again.